We are still studying in the 46th Psalm. This 46th Psalm is a story of God's people and the way God takes care of them when there are great distresses going on all around about them, when the rest of the world is being shaken, when the rest of the world is being carried off and dumped into the sea, when the mountains are melting, when there are great tumults, great commotions. God's people can be safe and secure in the midst of all of this. Now, this doesn't have to mean literal destructions of the earth, although it could include that, but it more than likely is talking about political destructions and religious destructions, those things that are in which the social forces are changed, when the political forces are removed, when one nation is overrun by another nation, or many nations are overrun, and the threat is made to God's people that they're also going to be overrun. This psalm shows how that God does take care of his people. In the first section of the psalm, he begins by saying God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Then beginning in verse 4, he begins to talk about the goodness of God. He says, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacle of the Most High. So this city of God, the place where God's people dwell, which today is the church, which during the time of this psalm it was that the psalm is written, was the city of Jerusalem, that place is going to be benefited by this river of God. It's going to be made to flourish. It's going to be made to have gladness at the time the rest of the world is in a great tumult. He says in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Here God dwells in this place, and so this is the dwelling place of God. God's certainly going to protect this place if he protects any place at all. Then in verse 6, he says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. Now he's still describing here how God consoled his people, but in order to get a true picture of how much God is aiding and protecting his people, we have to really see how the rest of the world is getting along, what kind of tumult they're in. And as he describes their insecurity, there are times of great trouble, he can compare that to the way he does take care of his people and give a truer picture of how much God really is with his people. Sometimes, you know, we begin to think, well, I don't have this going so well for me or that going so well for me, but whenever you compare your situation of being a servant of God with the situation of those that are not servants of God, then you see you have a very great advantage that God certainly does help. So in this sixth verse, he says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. There's very great upheaval and commotion among the nations. This could very well be talking about the Assyrian army headed by Sennacherib as it conquered one kingdom after another. Any kingdom that was in the path of this great army was going to be moved, was going to be overturned, was going to be overthrown. And you can see how the nations then would be raging. They would be in a state of unrest. They would be in a state of instability. They raged and the kingdoms were moved. we see this today in the world as war after war happens, as tumult after tumult occurs. For there be a few terrorists that are raising a commotion in a place, or whether it be one nation against another nation. We see this happening, the kingdoms being moved, the earth being shaken, the nations in a state of raging. And then he further says in verse 6, he uttered his voice, the earth melted. So God is able to bring about the calm. He can bring about an end of this. The nations that are causing so much agitation, the nations that are such a threat, can just melt and cease to be, or even cease to have power. However God wants to bring it about, it can be done. And so here again, this could apply to that battle of Sennacherib as he conquered those nations round about, and now he was threatening Jerusalem, and at the very uttering of the voice of God, the earth melted. This great threat, this great power that seemed to be so indelibly implanted upon the earth that could not be changed. It melted. It no longer was. No longer was a threat. It ceased to be a threat. And so we see how the earth, the people in the earth, the nations can be in such a turmoil, such a great strait of unrest, and then all God has to do is to speak, and the earth melted. Verse 7 says, the God of hosts is with us, or the Lord of hosts is with us. Now this phrase, Lord of hosts, means that he is the head of all of the forces of heaven, all of the hosts, all of the beings, all of created things in heaven. This would be the heavenly bodies, the stars, the sun, the moon. This would be all the angels, all the beings of heaven, all of the forces of heaven. He is commander over those. He leads those. This is the God that is with us. So the Lord of hosts is with us. Now what an important statement to have this God of the universe, the God who has created all things, the God who has all power, the God who is all knowing, to have that God to be with us, on our side, protecting us. He further says, the God of Jacob is our refuge. This God is our refuge. This God is going to give us protection. This God has given us a relief from these great distresses of the world that go on all around us. And what a wonderful thing it is to know that we can have this great sense of security and peace and comfort. To know that we can have the great protection of this God, the God of Jacob. This is God, the God of Jacob the man. This is also the God of Jacob the people. And when we think of Jacob the people, that includes us today. We are descendants of that people in a spiritual sense. He's our refuge. He's our protection. He's our wall. He's our rock. He's our fortress. He's our tower. He's our refuge. So that regardless of what's going on around about us in the world, it doesn't matter how great the upheavals, the turmoils, the unrest, the raging of the nations are. Still, God is our refuge. We can have a place of peace and comfort and solace in this city of God. We can be watered by that river that he talks about. We can be in the holy tabernacle of God. He's our refuge. And then he closes this section of the psalm with the word Selah, meaning that there is a pause in the sense. And he's just been talking about the way that God consoled his people with these promises, with the fact that God is available to be a refuge from the trials and tribulations of the world round about. In the rest of this psalm, he shows how God's power changes the course of nations. In verse 8 he says, come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. This is an invitation for any who are interested to simply take a look at what God has done. Behold the works of the Lord. And this can be a very broad, all-inclusive thing, but he's talking about the works of the Lord that have to do with him delivering his people from the troubles that they're in, delivering his nation, the nation Israel. Now, if this were talking specifically about the time that Sennacherib had the city of Jerusalem under siege with his mighty army, and how that it seemed that there was no way for Jerusalem to get out, and then suddenly 185,000 of these Assyrians were left dead one morning, and it was a strange, mysterious way as to how it happened. It was God that brought it about. Then it would be very striking to have somebody to come and behold. I walk outside the gates of the city and look and see what God has done. Look at the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He's done something here that no other nation has been able to do. Something that we as a nation know that we could not have done. We could not have brought this great defeat about on this army. We couldn't have killed these 185,000 Assyrians. We were at their mercy, it seems. But look what the works of the Lord has done, what desolations he hath made in the earth. And he further says in verse 9, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. God has the power to stop wars. And so it doesn't matter how great the nation is, how mighty, how much conquering they've done, God can make all of this come to an end. He can make war to cease unto the end of the earth, whether it has to do with just the boundaries of a given nation, if that's what the end of the earth means, or if it means in all of the world, God can make war to cease. And of course we've had times in the history of this world in which there have been a generalized state of war, and then that comes to an end. It ceases. And in the particular case of the Assyrians and the mighty leader Sennacherib, at the time this was written, this nation of Assyria was so powerful, it had such influence, that the wars it was raging and waging at this time, those wars were probably having an influence upon the whole world. This was the greatest commotion anywhere to be found in the world, the conquering forces of this mighty army of the Assyrians. They were wanting to go on from this conquest in Judea to go on into Egypt and to India, and no telling where their ambitions would have ever stopped at if they hadn't been defeated. But God made the war to cease unto the end of the earth. This was the greatest blow that could have been struck for peace in the earth at that particular time, to steal this army, to defeat this army, to silence the demands of this leader Sennacherib. So this is the doings of the Lord. The Lord brought this about. And the point is, God uses these nations to bring about His will. He uses the nations as tools, as simple instruments to bring about His will here upon this earth. And these wars are involved in that many times. Now, if we can just see that the Lord is doing this, if we can see that the Lord has a hand in this, if we can behold the works of the Lord and realize that God has control over all of this, then this gives us a great source of consolation. This gives us a reason to feel that we truly can be delivered, that God has the power to bring about whatever our needs are, that God is going to see about us, that God is going to take care of us, and so it's a very great source of consolation. Behold the works of the Lord. And of course, any time we are able to see the works of the Lord, then it gives consolation. And we can see His works in the creation of things. We can see His works as we look at the forces of nature, as we look at the living things of nature, the plants, the animals, as we look at the inanimate things of nature and see how God has brought these about, how that they're under His control, the heavenly bodies, the sun, the stars, the moon, the weather, the great claps of thunder, the lightning, all these things are a part of the mighty works of God. And so it makes us feel secure and safe just to know that we have this God to be our God. And when it comes to wars, He can bring wars to an end. He can make wars to cease. And so He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. And He further elaborates upon that in the ninth verse by saying, He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in fire. Now these were the mighty weapons of war during the time that this psalm was written. The bow, the spear, and the chariot. The chariot was an advanced, powerful weapon of war at this time. And so the allusion here is to the scene when a conquering nation would move in upon another nation and defeat them. And then they would take their weapons. If they were not able to use them in another way, they would take their weapons and break them up. Stack them up in a heap and burn them so that the nation couldn't take these weapons and use them in the future against them. And so this seems to be the picture of that. God can take the weapons away from a nation. He can disarm a nation if He so desires. And so today, you know, as we think about the great threats of war that we have, the threats of World War III, the threats of a nuclear holocaust, and we start thinking about balance of power, how we have to make more weapons, more nuclear weapons, so that we then can hold off the other nations. But God can disarm any nation that He wants to. These things are in the hands of God, and if we are true believers of God, we're not going to be depending upon the balance of power. We're not going to be depending upon how many weapons a nation has, or how many people they have in the armed forces, or any other thing of that nature. We're going to be depending upon God when we behold the works of God, the works of the Lord. And those who think that they're at the mercy of these weapons and this balance of power, they're really not having the faith that they should have. They haven't stopped and taken a good look at the works of the Lord. They haven't seen with the eye of faith that sight the morning after the army of Sennacherib was destroyed, in which you could walk out outside the walls of Jerusalem and see all of those thousands and thousands of men that had been killed during the night. Their lives had been snuffed out for some reason or another. No one really knows at this time how it happened, but this was the works of the Lord. So to see the works of the Lord and to know how He operates, then is a source of faith and strength and comfort and consolation for us even today. So it says in verse 10, "Be still and know that I am God." Just stop and take note now. Be still means to be calm, to be confident, to place your trust in me, not to be overly excited or agitated or going about activities that are to no benefit. A lot of times when we are in a state of distress, we are not still and calm. We are agitated, and we find we're expending a lot of energy in areas that really are not necessary for us to expend the energy in. And so in this state of increased activity and feeling like that we've got to do everything in our power to bring about our safety and our security, we sometimes forget about God. Let's know that the being that we worship, our Heavenly Father, is God. He is Lord, ruler over all. He has all power. And when we know that, then that's the source of security and safety and peace and comfort. We can take solace. We can take comfort in that fact. So let's know, first of all, before we do anything, that we're serving the living God. He is God. Be still and know that I am God. And he further describes that in verse 10 by saying, "I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." Now, there are many times throughout the course of history where God has been exalted among the heathen. Whenever he delivered his people from the Egyptian bondage, before they left Egypt, those Egyptians knew that this was the God. This was a God above and beyond their idols. This was a God that had more power than anything they were able to come up with. For he had defeated the mighty Pharaoh, and he did get his people out of that country against Pharaoh's wishes. As they moved into the land of Canaan, and as they destroyed those nations that were there before them, here again the heathen was made to know that this was the mighty God. They were aware of the fact. Rahab, whenever she aided the people of God and hid those spies in the city of Jericho, she knew that the God of these Hebrews was the strongest God ever. This was the true and living God. She knew that. And as a result of that, she acted on her faith, and she was eventually added to the number of the people of God. So I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. God is exalted for his works. The earth has to realize that he is the true and living God. He is the one that has all the power. He's the creator of all things. They may not want to acknowledge this, but eventually, as they come up against this great God, they must realize that he is the God of all the universe. I will be exalted in the earth. This could also have a reference to the ultimate triumphs of God in the church age. Those that are counted as heathen, those that are Gentiles, those nations that there seemed to be no way to get them to accept this true and living God to be their God, to lay down their idolatrous ways, to stop those practices that are practices to the gods of stick and stone, they eventually would be exalting this God. They eventually would be knowing that he was the true and living God, and they would be turning to him. And there's even a time in which they would turn even more so than God's own people, the Jewish nation. They would be the predominant ones in the kingdom of God and the church of God till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. So could be a prophecy about the time that we're living in right now. I'll be exalted among the heathen. I'll be exalted on the earth. And if that be the case, certainly it's well for God's people then to stop and take notice, to be still, and to realize I am God. Then he concludes in verse 11 with a phrase, the same as he said in verse 7, "The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge, Selah." Now the Lord of hosts refers to the fact that this God is the God of all armies. He's the God of all the hosts of heaven. He is the leader of all the universe. The Lord of hosts is with us. He's not just a singular God that has no accompanying forces. He's not a God that is secluded and doesn't have any power. But He's the Lord of hosts. He commands all armies everywhere, even those heavenly armies. He's with us. Now, if we can just get that into our minds, and if we can really truly believe that, then we'll be able to commit ourselves to this God. He is with us. What confidence it gives us just to know that this God is with us. He's on our side. He's for us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The same God that did all these things in the past, these mighty works in the past for His people, for the people that are known as Jacob, He is our refuge. This is the one to whom we can turn. We can come to Him for comfort and peace and security. He is our refuge. He's our wall. He's our fortress. He's our tower. He's our rock. Then he concluded with the word Selah. So we find this 46th Psalm is one we can derive a lot of strength and comfort from when we're in a time of distress or being threatened. We're going to close at that point. Till next time, this is NC Crouch saying goodbye, friends.